Amen. This morning, I'm thinking of a famous statement. You've probably heard it before by President Harry S. Truman. And he made this statement initially concerning the pressure of somebody that would be in the Oval Office as President of the United States. Truman said that anybody that would get into that office or run for that office and get in there, he said these words. He said, if you can't take the heat, get out of the kitchen. And I'm going to take that expression this morning and use it in my message, that when it comes to the Christian life, when it comes to your faith in Jesus Christ and to the responsibilities and the duties and the life that flows out of being saved by Jesus, it would apply, if you can't take the heat, get out of the kitchen. In other words, if you can't take the heat, get out of the kitchen. If you profess Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you should press on to walk by faith, to seek the Lord fully every day of your life. You should seek to be a fruitful witness for Christ every day, and every day of your life experience the full blessings of the indwelling, permanent indwelling of the Holy Spirit in and through your life. So I'm saying again, the title of my sermon is just the opposite of what Truman said. He said, if you can't take the heat, get out of the kitchen. The title of my sermon is, take the heat and stay in the kitchen. Take the heat and stay in the kitchen. That is to say, stay in the kitchen of your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Stay in the kitchen of claiming all the blessings that go with that profession of faith in Jesus Christ. And stay in the kitchen by fulfilling the commitments that go with being a disciple of Jesus Christ. I'm saying this morning, don't pull back this summer. I'm saying don't drift away. I'm saying stay in the kitchen and take the heat through your union with Jesus Christ, because the Bible says I can do all things through Christ. That means through my union with Christ, which strengtheneth me. That kind of an attitude, that kind of faith, that will cause you to be strengthened. And you will take in from the union with Christ. You will give out from the union with Christ. You will stay in the kitchen by your union with Christ. And you will overcome. Please listen. Take the heat and stay in the kitchen. And in this connection, I want to focus in on my text, which is actually two verses in Luke chapter 5. And just these two verses from what we read. Please look at verse 8 and 9. It says, and when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. Now, Peter saw a miracle. Peter saw what following Jesus could do, what launching out into the deep could do when Jesus says to launch out into the deep. Peter did that. He did get in the kitchen, amen? He launched out with the Lord in the kitchen. He was there when things were going on. And he saw the Lord give him all of those fish. And he felt the power of God and what God could do. And it was pointing him to what God could do through him when he turned him into not a fisherman, but a fisher of men. And how he would have the power and blessing of God in his life. He began to see all of that. But listen, there was something in him when he saw that that made him afraid. There was something in him when he felt the power of God that made him want to pull away. You say, how do you know? Look what he says in verse 8. Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. In other words, I want to get out of the kitchen. I'm not worthy of this. I'm not good enough for this. I'm not good enough to be in this place of blessing. I'm not good enough to be in this place of being a fisher of men. And I'm not good enough to be with you, Lord, the miracle worker, the Messiah. I'm just, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. And by the way, you who are here, you are all sinful men and women. Amen. I'm a sinful man. But listen, through the Lord Jesus Christ, we can come unto him. We can find rest in him. We can take his yoke upon us and work with him. and we don't have to depart from the Lord or have the Lord to depart from us. We can take the heat and stay in the kitchen today. Amen. I'm thinking of the early Revival Seekers prayer meeting up in Clark's Green at Baptist Bible College. I was there during those days of those early prayer meetings. And when God showed up in mighty power during those prayer meetings, and with the students that were there, and with our leader, Charles Ware, I remember the intensity of it. I remember the power of God. And I felt like I wanted that, but at the same time, I felt like pulling away from the intensity of it all, from stepping out in faith and seeing Dr. Ware keep stepping out in faith. And I knew I was called to keep walking on the water, so to speak. And I wanted to get out of the kitchen, I'll be honest. I felt the heat. And I felt the heat of being close to our first leader who became our pastor. He was a student then at Baptist Bible. And I began to feel the heat and knowing personally that God wanted to shake Scranton. God wanted to shake America. God wanted to do something great. Just like he was showing Peter, he wanted to do something great. I believe God wants to do something great in your life. He wants to do something great in your family. He wants to do something great in this church. He wants to do something great in the lives of our singles that are here, our young people that are here. But there's going to be a pressure that you're going to feel. There's going to be a power within you that's going to try to pull you away. And that's an evil heart of unbelief. That's our flesh. And it will try to get us to pull away. And so I'm saying this morning, take the heat from the challenges of faith. And through your faith in Christ, take the heat, beloved, and stay in the kitchen. And I want to say, number one, I have an illustration of how I took the heat and stayed in the kitchen and how it affected my life as a single man. As a single man. I want to share that and how it affected me getting a spouse. Look again at verse 8 and 9. Let's look at Peter. He says, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. I saw the power of God in our prayer meeting up at Baptist Bible in Clark's Green, Pennsylvania. I saw the power of God as we came down to the Progressive Center, April of 1900s there, 1970s, 1900s, 1970s, early 70s. I saw the power of God there. I saw people getting right with God. I saw people getting saved. I saw what was going on. And I was tempted to pull back from that. Just like Peter, he said, depart from me. Perhaps you felt that temptation to depart. He had a natural view of fishing and his fishing business. He knew how it worked. He knew how he could be a fisherman that could make a living. He was able to make a living. But this was beyond that. This was the power of God in the fishing business. This was the power of God in the business that the Lord had called him to, into the ministry. And he knew that he would need that power of God. And he said to himself, I'm not worthy. And then he told the Lord that, depart from me. And this affected his life because Peter was going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He was going to see not only fish get caught in the net that he threw out in his fishing business because of the Lord, but he was going to see fishers of men, people get saved and be caught in the gospel net as he gave the invitation for people to come to Christ and then to get baptized as a testimony of their faith. And Peter had something in him that wanted to pull away. Is there something in you that wants this, but something in you that wants to pull away because it's too much, it's too intense, it's too strong? And I remember in those early Revival Seekers prayer meeting in dorm 2, Charles Ware was there, a fellow student of mine. Other students at BBC were there. In about 1969, 1970, up in Clark's Green, Pennsylvania. And we had those prayer meetings, and we were praying for revival in our lives. We were praying for the power of God in our lives. We were praying for people to get saved in Scranton in northeastern Pennsylvania. It was through those prayer meetings that we were pushed by God out of those dormitories, off the Holy Hill in Clark's Green, to come down into the Valley City of Scranton. And we prayed and we said, God, you blessed in Scranton in the days of Billy Sunday in 1914. Would you do it in 1969? Would you do it in 1970? Would you do it in 1971? You did it before. You could do it again. You do it for men. Are you the same God? God, we're asking you to do it. And there was something in me that was drawn to that challenge. At the same time, there was something in me that wanted not to take the heat, but get away from the kitchen, go up to Alaska, go up to Florida, go up somewhere and enjoy creation, but get out of the kitchen of God's supernatural working. And you know what? I can tell you, thank God, I have not left the kitchen. Amen. I've stayed in the kitchen. I've taken the heat. And I think about a guy that was in Matt's class, Danny in Matt's class. And I preached a message one time, too hot to handle, too hot to handle. And Danny never forgot that message. And a lot of times he'd see me say, Pastor, too hot to handle, right? Too hot to handle. And you know what? God is too hot to handle. Amen. The word of God is too hot to handle. It is. And God is real. And David found that out when he tried to bring the ark to Jerusalem and it wasn't properly carried and a guy was dropped dead there, Uzzah dropped dead, and David was afraid and he left the ark for a while and it didn't come to Jerusalem because it was too hot to handle. And that's what I'm saying to you. God is a God that's holy. His word is hot. And it's real. Hell is real, beloved. Christ is real. Heaven is real. And what we're doing is real. And that is why you should embrace it by faith. And if you've embraced Christ and his saving grace, then stay with it. Keep embracing it. Why? Because not only is Christ real and salvation from hell real, and by the way, if you haven't accepted him, do it by faith. Do it now. Make sure that you come to Christ. He's inviting you today to come. He's inviting you to trust him and his death on the cross to save you from hell and take you to heaven. That's all real. And you need to do that and embrace Christ by faith. But listen, if you have embraced Christ already, you should keep on staying with it and not run out of the kitchen when you feel the heat of Bible preaching, when you feel the heat of God, the Holy Spirit working, when you feel the heat of God calling you to follow Christ and go to a higher level. Maybe it's beyond what you can do. You know, maybe it's like Peter. He couldn't walk on the water in his own strength. And when he looked down, he sunk under the water. But God wants you to walk on the water. God wants you to stay in the kitchen. God wants you to stay with it. But it's going to take faith. It's going to take looking to Christ. It's going to take every day getting the strength of God. It's going to take listening to sermons Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday. It's going to take commitment. I want to challenge you, take the heat. And stay in the kitchen. And I'm saying in my own life, I took the heat and stayed in the kitchen. And it affected my life as a young single man. You say, well, what happened when you embraced Christ and you were cooking in the kitchen of those early revival seeker prayer meetings at BBC? Well, we prayed and we got a burden and a desire to plant a church in Scranton, and we took the heat, stayed in the kitchen, and then that summer I had to work to get money to go to school. So I went to, with some friends of mine that were at college, to Florida. A guy named Bob, and he had a sister named Alethea, and a girl named Jennifer Bullwinkle, Virginia Bullwinkle. And we went to West Palm Beach, Florida for the summer after my first year at Baptist Bible College. And I remember staying in a home in Florida, the DeLorme home, and I remember they didn't have proper air conditioning down there. And in Florida, you better have air conditioning. And I slept at night with no covers, I can tell you that, and with nothing. It was hot. But we stayed there at night. I had my meals with that family as a student, and I got a job working with a family that had a business putting in underground water sprinkler systems. And that was my job that summer, working outside. And I remember staying at that house of the DeLorme family. And I remember going to an independent fundamental Baptist church called Emmanuel Baptist Church, preached from the King James Bible. I'm glad to tell you, Pastor Hunter is still there. He still preaches from the King James Bible. He took the heat. He stayed in the kitchen. He's from Michigan, too. And in that church, I had Melissa Lindsay come here a while back, and she was living in West Palm at the time. Now she's living in Carolina, but she was Charleston, I believe, area. And she was living in West Palm, and she said, "Pastor, where should I go to church?" I said, "Why don't you try Emmanuel Baptist Church?" I said, "That's where I went when I was staying there." And she said, "I will." And she did, and she got involved with that church. And she said, "Pastor Hunter and that church, they just love you guys there. They talk about your love story, you and your wife, and they talk about you as a soul winner. You're a legend," she said, "as a soul winner." And they talk about that down there. And that church, I have fond memories of that church. I went there that summer, 1969, between my first year at BBC and my second year of college there. And I remember, you got to remember, I had come out of those Revival Seekers prayer meeting. I'd come out of that group of men, kind of like a holy club, like the Wesleys and Whitfields were part of at Oxford. We were that kind of a club, and we had scattered for the summer. But God's grace went with me, and God's blessing went with me as I went down there. And I think about the book of Acts. And in Acts chapter 6, verse 15, it talks about the deacon of the church, Stephen. And remember, he went before the Jewish council. And they were mad at him because he was witnessing for Jesus. He was preaching Jesus as the Christ. And the Jewish people, they were upset at him. Stephen didn't let that stop him. The Bible says he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And it says, "And all that sat in the council looking steadfastly on him," speaking of Stephen, "saw his face as it had been the face of an angel." Now, I'm not saying my face was as the face of an angel. I was down there in Florida. I had a good suntan. I know that from working outside. But I can say this, that I had been in the kitchen of prayer. I'd been in the kitchen of soul winning in Scranton. I'd been in the kitchen of revival people. And I can tell you this, when I was down there in Florida, there was something going on that was shining from my life. And I praised the Lord for it. And I was close to God. I'm glad I never got out of the kitchen and pulled away. Otherwise, I'd be just like any other teenager. I was 19 at the time, any other college student. But I didn't pull away. I was saved, and I was staying in the kitchen, beloved. And some of you look like you need to get in the kitchen, amen, and to wake up and to get with it this morning. Amen? I feel like saying, "Wake up! Get with it." Because I can get halo data when I preach up here by looking. But anyway, let me say this. You know, I remember being there, and I remember going to a banquet there in the church. They had a banquet for the teenage youth group, and they had a banquet for the college and career kids there. And I remember going to that banquet. I went single. I didn't have a date. I didn't have a girlfriend. And I was at that banquet, and there were couples there. You know, my wife was not my wife. Her name was Kathy Leeser, and she was there. And she'd been 1 year to Cedarville College up in Ohio and was back at her home church for the summer. And she was there. And a guy that took her was a guy about 6'3". His name was Andy Coons, good-looking guy. And his father owned that business that I was working for. And his father was a great deacon in that church, Jack Coons, great man of God, wonderful family. They had a nice house in West Palm Beach. And she was there with them. At that banquet, and Andy had led her to the Lord, had led my wife to the Lord, and she kind of really looked up to him, and she was on a date with him to that banquet, and that was a wonderful thing, and he had a brother named Cam, and my wife would go to their house for Bible study. My wife would have another Bible study with a lady named Mrs. Pennell that taught on Bible prophecy. She'd get into all of that. And they had good time. And my Kathy Leeser, I'll call her, she was on fire for the Lord. She loved the Lord. And she was a new convert and was witnessing to a lot of people. And she was in a, you know, upper middle class community there, beautiful place in West Palm. And so here I am standing up there just giving my testimony about Jesus Christ. I don't remember exactly what I said, but she thought as I spoke, wow, he has the spiritual beat of my heart. That's my heart. It's kind of like Jonathan and David. You know, when Jonathan saw David, he said, oh, that's my heart. And her heart went out to mine, and it just was like God just did. And you say, well, why are you sharing this? Because I'm glad I took the heat and stayed in the kitchen. Because what attracted my wife to me was that. It was God. It was Jesus. And she saw it. And she saw the face of an angel that is, I guess I'm the angel of the church of Scranton, amen? As she saw the messenger of God, the man of God, the young man, 19 years old. And it drew her to me. Listen, I'm saying if it worked for me, it will work for you. And I'm saying that it will work to the membership in this church. And it will be a blessing. And so she saw my face as the face of an angel there. And I'm just telling you, this morning, listen, take the heat and stay in the kitchen. Take the heat that comes from being saved. Take the heat that comes from getting baptized. Yeah. Take the heat that comes from joining. You should join the church. Yeah. Get in or get out. Get out or get off. Come on. Take the heat. The water's fine. Jump in. Take the heat. And I took the heat. And you should take the heat. Take the heat that comes from hot preaching from the King James Bible. Take that heat. And I've not run away from that all these years. I'm still going where there's hot preaching from the King James Bible. And I'm leading people that are around me, young people around me, to do the same thing. Take the heat that comes from somebody that exhorts you and rebukes you and encourages you and challenges you. Keep taking that heat. I used to get that from Dr. Ware. Charlie Ware was my best friend. And I remember he was always, just by his life, rebuking me. And it was always because I had that flesh in me. But his life and his words, they kept challenging me. And there was something in me wanted to say, get away from me, Charlie. Get away. I want to get away from you, and you need to get away from me. I want to go back where I was before. Amen. And that's what Peter was tempted to do here. He was tempted to get away from the apostolic man, get away from the Lord, get away from this high calling, and go back to fishing. Remember, he even did it at one point. But I'm just saying, you take the heat and stay in the kitchen, because as a young single man, God bless me. He blessed me there in Florida as I came down off that holy hill in Clark's Green and went to Florida. And God bless me. And it was something. So take the heat and stay in the kitchen. I did it, and God bless me. And then I want to say one more thing. Take the heat and stay in the kitchen. Because not only God blessed me, but he blessed others through me at the college where I went. I went that summer in Florida, and I came back. And little did I know that at the end of that summer, that young lady called Kathy Leeser had given her heart to me, just like Jonathan to David. And she was willing to follow me and to love me. And then I came to love her later and saw all that God had. And God put us together. And we're celebrating our 50th wedding anniversary this summer. Amen. Our 50th. And we have our kids coming up for a week from all over the country. We're just taking the week off, and we're going to celebrate that. Then I'm going to take a week and take my bride somewhere point south, and we'll celebrate it together alone with no kids. Amen. With no kids or grandkids or nothing. I'm saying it's worth it. Take the heat, and God will bless your life and other lives. And when I came back to college up here in Clark's Green, Pennsylvania, God used it to bless other students. And we had that prayer meeting at dorm two, where the heat was on, and Charlie Ware, Randy Bloom, and other college students, we went down into Scranton now. And we started preaching the gospel, and we began to see people get saved in Scranton. And we began to get the planting of Scranton Revival Baptist Church down there as I came back from Florida and so forth. And when I came back to the college, after being in this church, because we were meeting in this church in the early 1970s, and I would come back and we would meet in this church, and the students would see us in the cafeteria, people that went to Scranton Revival Baptist Church. And these people came from all different churches in the Scranton area. They came from all these different churches. But those of us that went to Scranton Revival Baptist Church, they would say, I can tell where you went to church. You went to Scranton Revival Baptist Church. How can you tell that? Well, because they didn't say this, but we took the heat. And we stayed in the kitchen. And the glow of God was on our lives. And we were glowing for Jesus Christ. The work of the Holy Spirit was on our lives. And we did that. Remember Moses when he met with God on the mountain? And he came away from meeting with God. Remember that? And he was shining. And they had to put a veil on his face. Now, I'm not saying we were physically shining like that. But I'm saying that there was something there that they saw that they could identify where we went to church. Something that made a difference. I believe that's the power of a revival going on there. And so our church became known as Scranton Revival Baptist. I remember I had young lady students at the college. And at a time I just stopped dating. I said, I'm not going to date anybody. I'm going to date the Lord. And my best friend, Charlie Ware, at that time, they had a lot of prejudice. And he was African-American, and he couldn't date white girls. Now, he married a white girl. Thank God God worked all that out. But he couldn't do that at the time. And he was not interested in doing anything but walking with God. He didn't react. He just walked with God. And I said, I'm going to have Saturday night dates with you. We're going to pray together. And I didn't date. And I just walked with God. And I remember girl students talking to me about changes in my life. They saw it. And they saw a real young man of God now. And they wanted to get counsel from me. And I could counsel these girls. And no strings attached. I would counsel these girls. I remember one sincere girl named Jennifer. For example, she sincerely asked me about the changes in my life. And later on, when my wife and I got together, she saw that and she asked me about how did that all happen with you. And I had people talking about us in a good way, what was going on. There were people talking about a bad way too. Basically, I told Jennifer that I had been in the kitchen of revival praying, I was serving God, and that I'd been taking the heat and decided to stay in the kitchen of Revival Baptist Church and what God was doing. How about you this morning? Will you, if you haven't embraced Jesus Christ yet as your personal Savior, instead of running away from Jesus and running away from the gospel and winding up in the world and then dying and going to hell and wasting your opportunity, how about you coming to Christ and embracing Him? He's inviting you to come. You say, I'm a sinner. Depart from me. I don't deserve it. No, you don't. But for by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself. It's the gift of God. He opens his hands to you. He invites you to come. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. You may have sin and guilt. Don't run away from Christ. Don't say, depart from me. Don't depart out of here and not accept him. If you haven't accepted him, personally accept him. Being a church member won't save you. Going to church won't save you. Getting baptized won't save you. But Jesus Christ himself will. If you come to him. I did when I was 17. Thank God for that. Will you come forward and get baptized? After you're saved, you're supposed to get baptized. Baptism doesn't save you, but it's like putting on a wedding ring. It shows that I am my beloved's and she is mine, and I wear it proudly. If you're ashamed to get baptized, that means you're ashamed of your Savior. Don't do that. Come and get baptized by being immersed under the water and coming up again like Christ did. Take the heat. Stay in the kitchen. If you've been saved and baptized, then you need to stay here in the kitchen. Will you do it? And will you keep praying for revival? Will you stay in the kitchen and keep coming to hear the Word of God? We meet here Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday. We have other things going on that you could grow. Will you stay in the kitchen and take the heat that comes from that so you can have the glow of God on your life, so that you can go out here and shine for Jesus Christ, so that your life can make a difference for Jesus Christ in Scranton and wherever you go? That's where it comes from. Take the heat and stay in the kitchen. I took the heat and stayed in the kitchen as a single man. That's what brought me my spouse. That's when I started really being built up in the Lord. And secondly, I used that and blessed others at college and have been a blessing in Scranton because of the Lord working. And I'm saying Peter did that as well. And the rest is history. Peter took the heat. He stayed in the kitchen. He did backslide and got away, but the Lord said, come on back. You're coming back. We're cooking. You're coming back in the kitchen. You're going to cook. And by the way, a way for a girl to learn to cook, a way for a girl to learn to clean, the way is to get with a godly lady, a mother figure, and learn from her. And learn from her all those things. And Peter stayed with the Lord, and he learned, and he was able to teach others also. I know this guy right here, he's taken the heat, he stayed in the kitchen, and he's able to teach others also. But that's why, because he took the heat, he stayed in the kitchen. How about you? How about you when it comes to praying for revival? Where are you when it comes to praying for revival? How about you when it comes to soul winning and having the power of God in your life? How about you when it comes to hearing the Word of God and responding to hot preaching? Are you going to stay in the kitchen and take the heat of it or run away? You don't need to. You don't need to. I'm saying you should stay. The Bible says that Elijah was a man just like you and I. He had certain sinful passions and desires and failures. Elijah was a man that called fire from heaven, though. He had some heat, amen. He had some power. And he stayed in the kitchen. And so did his protege, Elisha. He stayed with Elijah. He took the heat and stayed in the kitchen. And he said, I want a like portion of your spirit, a double portion. That means a duplicate. I want the same kind of spirit you've got. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, Elijah's mantle fell, and Elisha took the mantle, and he smote the Jordan River, and it went this way and that way, and he was able to walk through. The same power that Elijah had, Elisha had. I know the same power that Ware had in this pulpit, though it's a different personality and a different color. He was my best friend. I have that spirit. I asked for it, and God gave it to me. And that's what God wants to do in your life. I think of you single men that are here. This guy took the heat, stayed in the kitchen. He's teaching the Crusaders class. You can have the wife that God wants you to have. You say, how are you going to get it? You got to stay in the kitchen. Just stay in the kitchen and let God do it. Let God do it. God did the surgery on Adam. He took the rib. He put him to sleep. You don't have to do anything. Just stay in the kitchen. That's all you got to do. Trust me on that one. Stay in that kitchen. God knows what you need. He will provide what you need financially. He'll provide everything. But the big problem is taking the heat and staying in the kitchen. Because our big problem is a living sacrifice wants to keep crawling off the altar. Stay there. Stay there because of Jesus. Stay there because of your union with Him. Stay there because of the grace of God. Stay there because God doesn't fail. And you'll be blessed. And others will be blessed through you. Let's bow for prayer this morning. Every head bowed. We've been talking about taking the heat and staying in the kitchen this morning. And the first thing I said, that you should, if you aren't 100% sure you're going to heaven, you should embrace Christ by faith and say, Lord, I trust you to be my Lord and Savior. I trust you to save me. He says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. May you do it today. May you trust him. May you come to him. He won't cast you out. I wonder, those of you that are here today, and you've been with me many times, and many times I've said this, I'll say it again. If you can say you're 100% sure with a Bible reason that you're saved, would you raise your right hand? Just hold it up. You're going to heaven with a Bible reason. Amen. All